That's great. Outstanding. All right, you guys stand and worship with us this morning, please.
Thank you. good to have you here this morning. I assume that you figured out that we're kind of an hour off this morning, right? That you lost an hour of sleep last night. And we didn't have too many people show up late for the first service. Just a But y'all got to see the end of the last service, now the start of this one. So we won't give you too hard of a time. We had a group of guys from Cornerstone went to the Wildfire Conference this weekend. Just an incredible weekend. We're all kind of running on fumes this morning a little bit, though, lack of sleep. But it was so good. So many great speakers, so many encouraging things. Look forward to sharing about some of those in the future. We're glad you're here this week. We're finishing up this series from this day forward. And it's been a series about marriage, about how we can strengthen our marriages. And we know that's so important. And yet, this is one of those things within the church. I'm talking big church. It's one of those things that we know that our marriages should be different as Christians, right? We know that God has called us to a higher standard. And yet, when we look at it statistically, we look at it pragmatically, we look at it in any way we can, we see that there's really not a huge difference between the church and between the world around us. So what we've got to do, we've got to be able to look at this from a biblical perspective, a biblical worldview. What does it mean to really have a marriage that makes it, that stands out, that stands strong? And we're talking about five commitments to fail-proof your marriage. That's we're finishing that up this week. So excited about that. When you came in, you got a worship guide, several announcements on it. If you would look at that, just a few things. We do have youth tonight. Next week we have our Water Sunday, and that's just a Sunday where we're going to share a little bit about how you can make a difference, not just here in Galax, but around the world. A kind of an interesting way to share the gospel through ministry around the world through providing clean water. And you'll be hearing a lot more about that next week. We're excited about that. Also, we have Say Yes to the Dress coming up. There's a flyer on the wall back here that's got some more information about that that you can find out. We also have a mission trip to Nicaragua coming up June 1st through the 8th. If you are interested in going, we're coming down to the crunch time now. We really need to know if you're even thinking about it so we can start firming up all the commitments on that. So if you would let me know, I would greatly appreciate it. And I think that's all the announcements this morning, all the big ones. So, again, we're excited you're here with us this morning. We had a great first service. We're looking forward to this service. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can come into your house. We can worship. We can lift up your name. We can praise you. We're thankful for what you've done through this series and helping marriages. And we know, Lord, that even though we are talking about this topic, we still know that so many people are frustrated and under attack. And I just pray, Lord, right now, for each person, each and every person in this room, that they would be able to feel your presence this morning, they would be able to hear your word, that they would hear it with open minds, and you would just speak truth into their life. You would encourage them this morning. Lord, we are thankful, again, that we can worship you. We're thankful for what you've done in our lives, and we just are excited to be here in this place. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my to him I Washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. Think about all that you've done for us. God, you died so that we could be forgiven and have eternal life with you, and there is no greater gift, God. I thank you so much for everything that you've done for us in our lives. Thank you, God. God, I pray that you will be with Mike as he brings the message this morning, God, and let every person in here have an open heart and an open mind. Married or not, God, pray that you would just pour out your spirit upon this whole congregation this morning. We love you, God, and we ask these things in your son's name. Amen.
I promise to love, honor, and respect you.
I promise to love, cherish, and protect you.
From this day forward.
Till death do us part.
I remember our wedding day. It was awesome. I mean, my dress was gorgeous, and all of the flowers were so beautiful. And everybody that I loved was there, you know, all of my family, and the day was just amazing. I mean, it was good. It was really, really good. And there was this moment right before I walked down the aisle, and I remembered looking up to God and just feeling so thankful for this man that he had given me.
I was scared to death. Seriously, I thought I was going to pee my pants. I mean, I don't usually get in front of people like that, let alone wearing a tux. Come on. I forgot to go to the bathroom before the ceremony started, and I kept thinking, don't pee yourself, and don't lock your knees, and keep breathing. And then all of a sudden, I looked up, and there she was. She took my breath away. I never wanted it back.
Our honeymoon was amazing. I mean, we went to a tropical island, and it was just a whole week of relaxing, and we got to walk on the beach a lot and just spend time together. We were just so in love.
We went to the street vendors, you know, and we were looking around at stuff, and we didn't have a lot of money, but I picked up this amber necklace, and I put it up against her skin, and I knew she had to have it because she was worth it. And then we went home.
Once we got home, it was like something strange started to happen. I mean, it was like aliens came into our bedroom, scooped out his brain, and filled it with gummy bears. Honey, are those your dirty dishes in the sink?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know we have a dishwasher, right?
What? Yeah, and you're really good at it too, sweetheart. Could you not interrupt me when I'm watching TV? Or at least wait till a commercial?
You see what I mean? Gummy bears.
After the honeymoon, I had a sneaking suspicion that she was sneaking out at night and taking night classes at some college on some foreign language because everything she said made zero sense.
Do you like this shirt on me?
Yeah, looks good.
So you don't like the color?
What?
If you don't like the color, just say you don't like the color. I mean, I don't even know why I try to look nice for you.
Wait, what just happened here?
Why don't you think I'm pretty?
Why? Well, hold on. I do think you're pretty.
Well, you never say it.
I'm sorry. I think you're pretty.
Well, you can't say it now. I just told you to say it. What? I mean, that totally doesn't even count.
But wait, how am I supposed to know what I'm supposed to say unless you tell me what I'm supposed to say?
I can't believe you don't love me anymore. I wonder some days what I ever saw in him.
Did you know, in the mornings when she wakes up, her breath will melt your face off.
He farts and then holds my head under the covers. That's not okay.
Honestly, I'm a little scared because I think I might have married my mother.
Well, I wouldn't have to act like his mother if he didn't act like a child. I mean, close the refrigerator door, pick up your shoes, take out the garbage. Seriously, how hard is it to obey?
She can't cook. I think she's slowly trying to poison me with her food.
Okay, two words. Road rage.
Two words. Shopaholic.
Have I mentioned he still has his comic book collection from junior high?
Did I mention that she still makes fun of me for having a comic book collection from junior high?
He's addicted to television.
She's addicted to purses. And I don't understand this, but for some reason, she manages to lose every purse she owns in the house. Seriously, how hard is it to lose something this big?
I thought we were supposed to be on the same team.
I'm still on the same team. Apparently you defected, started playing for some other team that you made up in your mind.
That doesn't even make any sense.
Well, you don't make any sense.
Well, your gummy bears don't make any sense.
Oh, you're stupid.
Well, you're stupid.
Well, you made me this way. Gah! I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, too. The purpose of marriage isn't to make us happy.
It's to make us holy, as we become more like Him.
I promise to love, honor, and respect you as you become more like Him.
And I promise to love, cherish, and protect you as you grow to become more like Him.
Like Him.
Just like Him.
It's not going to be easy.
No, it's not going to be easy, but it is good. And anything that good is always worth fighting for.
Good video to open up with, isn't it? I'm not giving you guys any ideas or the ladies any ideas there on fusses, but we've tried to interject a little bit of humor as we've gone through this series because it is such a serious topic. It is such an important topic for us to talk about. And sometimes humor has a way of maybe breaking down our defenses a little bit, where we can hear the truth that we need to hear. And that's one of the things I liked about that video. And I even shared that statement last week that our marriages are really meant to make us holy and not happy. There's a book called Sacred Marriage by Gary Thomas, and he talks about that very thing. And it's a great book, but when we really step back and think about that, I mean, I know some of us immediately push back and say, well, I want to be happy, and here's what I want you to know is when we focus on holiness, when we focus on growing in Christ, there is joy, there is celebration, there is happiness that comes as a byproduct of that. So, you know, as we go through this series, this whole series, I hope you've enjoyed it. It's been kind of centered around, let's get marriage back to its rightful place in God's eyes. And one of the coolest things I hope you've enjoyed about it is the daily devotions. The church that originally did this series provided all the resources for devotion, and you can go on YouVersion. There's been a devotion each day. We've put it out on Facebook. We've shared it on our website. I know my wife and I have really enjoyed going through those daily devotions, just what you do, what you talk about, what you pray about each day. And it's been really encouraging for us. I hope you've taken advantage of that over these last 4 weeks and going into this last fifth week. Now, let me just do a little bit of review for you. And just kind of as we go into this last day, this last message of the series, we've really kind of been building block by block this idea. How can we protect our marriages? How can we strengthen our marriages? It's been, for those of you who are married, those of you who think you may want to get married one day, it's equally applicable to all of you. But we've been building block by block what it means to have a strong marriage. The first commitment that we talked about, and really the most foundational one, is that in a marriage, the husband and the wife need to seek God together. That we put God at the center of our marriage. That we seek Him, that we pray together, that we read His Word together, that we are in marriage, we're a team devoted to serving and growing in Christ together, that we're seeking God. And when you do that, you grow closer to each other as a result of growing closer to God. And that's the most, I mean, if you forget everything else I've said over the last 4 weeks, don't forget that the number one thing you can do to protect your marriage is to seek God together. And then we kind of added this second block of fighting fair. And when, as you could see in that in the video, that was so like real life almost, right? I mean, you see how easy it is for conflict to escalate. And how things that really were, you know, miscommunication, misperceptions, and all this stuff, and it just starts growing, and people don't fight fair. And when we have conflict in marriage, can we resolve it in a way that honors Christ? Can we work through it? Can we break that crazy cycle of just responding unlovingly and disrespectfully? And can we get back to the place? Just like Ephesians 5:33, it says, husbands, love your wives, and wives, respect your husband. That's what we're talking about in fighting fair. And then we talked about the whole idea of just having fun. So many marriages, just like they were talking about in the honeymoon, there's fun, and you get married, and you go through that honeymoon period where everything is just, oh, lovey-dovey, and then real life hits, and you've got bills to pay, and responsibilities, and stress, and, you turn into a taxi service, taking your kids here and there and everywhere, and you don't even know which way you're going, and you just see your wife in passing, and, yeah, y'all can relate, right? I mean, because that's the busyness of life. And we forget what we once did to cause us to fall in love in the first place. So just to go back and just to have fun. Just to, just like in Revelation, that John's message to the church, that you have lost your first love. The message that Jesus gave that church, and you've lost your first love. And to get it back, you have to go back to do what you once did. And that message, it really applies to our marriage too. We need to go back to what we once did and remember what it's like to have fun again. Then, as we kept going, last week was a little bit tougher. We kind of, pushed in a little bit and said, okay, here, if we want to have a strong marriage, if we want to have a marriage of purity, you cannot build a marriage of purity on a foundation of sin. And we have to take God's commands seriously. We have to look at our lives and we have to kind of open up our hearts a little bit and say, okay, what's on the heart here? Are we living pure life? Are we living a pure life? Or are we living a life maybe of where we're trying to cover sin? And so it was a little bit tougher, but again, I get lots of good conversation this week and lots of people that talked to me about struggles they were having. And so we saw that, man, this is, the message of Christ is taking hold here. And then today, we end up by talking about how we never give up. We never give up. On the front of your worship guide, there's a little marriage assessment there. Y'all are going to be sick of tests, but this is the last week. So each week I've been giving you a little test here to kind of evaluate your marriage, to see how things are going. And the hope is that you would realize here that there may be some room for improvement in your relationship. On a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being not true, 5 being definitely true, 5 questions here. And just want you to reflect on these as we start out today. 1 is that my spouse and I have never used the word divorce. Hopefully that's not a word that you use in your marriage and as a threat, or it's not a word that comes up, well, if this happens and not conditions. We're talking about an unconditional commitment here. The second question is, my spouse and I support each other during difficult times. So when you get in a difficult time, do you support each other? Are you a team or do you attack each other? Do you attack each other? The third question is, when it comes to our marriage, my spouse and I tend to be positive instead of negative. At the first sign of conflict, do you immediately go to the negative side of things and start saying, it's not going to work, I'm tired. Or are you positive? Do you see the good in your spouse? The next one is, my spouse and I feel that our marriage is in a great place. My spouse and I, is your marriage in a good place? If you were completely transparent and said, our marriage, we're in a good place right now. Or are you saying, we've got some work to do? And the fifth one is, my spouse and I are not selfish with each other in our marriage. Not selfish. Kind of add up your scores there a little bit. There's no real scale. Just think about it here. If your score is low, you need help. You need to seek out help. You need to get, whether it's counseling or sitting down with me or one of our other elders you can't be afraid to get help if you're really struggling in these things. You may be on one of these where you just see there's some danger here. You see the warning signs. It's like the warning light on your car, you know, the check engine light. Maybe through this series, your check engine light is on. And as you've heard each message here, you start saying, okay, man, there's something going on. I don't know what, but we need to pop the hood and figure it out. And so that's my maybe it's just getting in God's Word together. And as you start putting these building blocks together, you start understanding you can have a marriage here that is stronger. You can have a marriage that honors Christ. You can have a marriage, and we can have a church full of marriages that people look at and say, man, there is something different about that group. I know they're crazy, but when they look at us, they see, man, they're marriages. You know, they love each other. That's different. That's not what our world teaches anymore. And that's my hope. Now, there's a couple of challenges on preaching on the importance of marriage and never giving up that make it kind of difficult. One challenge is, man, there's so many different approaches I could take with this message. I could make the sermon just a warning to you. Just say, hey, you know, marriage is sacred. You need to remember your vows. Jesus never encouraged divorce, so don't do it. I mean, I could legitimately preach that. I mean, if you look at the New Testament, you see that. Hell, I mean, you look at the Old Testament too. In Malachi, God hates divorce. You look at Jesus. You know, there are strong words against divorce. And I can just caution you, this, you need to really, you know, we need to go back to Scripture and look at this. But then I could also use the sermon to talk about God's compassion for those who have been hurt in marriage, or those who have been left behind or abandoned, or those who have been sinned against in marriage. Because typically, those people have become kind of second-class citizens in the church. They've been excluded and said, you can't serve and you can't do this and you can't do this. And everybody else is up, you know, tries to put themselves up on a pedestal and thinks, well, you know, we haven't got a divorce. And it's almost like in the big church, divorce has become the one unforgivable sin. And if that's where, you know, if you're kind of struggling with that, let me take you over to Matthew 5. I mean, just think about this verse. You've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. We need to realize we're a room full of messed up people. We're sinners in need of a Savior. There's not two classes of people in this room. I mean, there's those who have accepted the forgiveness of Christ and who are believers now in Christ and have crossed over from death to life, and there's those who have not. But for all of us, we were all dead in our sins. We were all in need of a Savior. And we need to remember that. Now, you know, I could also take an approach of this sermon just to go and just kind of passage by passage, kind of do a deep theological study of what the Bible says about divorce and remarriage. And I really thought about doing that because I've spent a lot of time these last few weeks and months in preparing for this message, looking at those and reading different commentaries and ideas. And I mean, what we see is that there's great people of God that have different opinions about divorce and remarriage. And maybe you've experienced that in your own church life. And so what I want to do this morning, My goal this morning, as we talk about this, is to bring us to a place to say, this is what we can agree on. This is what we've got to do. This sermon series is about from this day forward. It's not about looking back on all our mistakes in the past. It's about what can we do from this day forward to get right with God, to follow after Him, to make Him first in our life. And there's forgiveness, there's grace, there's hope, there's encouragement. And some of us, man, we need to hear these words of Christ, and they need to impact us in such a way that we repent, that we turn our life around. We get back on the path that God has called us to walk in life. And it's not always easy. But that's my hope here. I want you, we kind of start off, I think there's two big problems. There's a big problem in church, and that is just simply we look at divorce, and Christians don't really take it seriously. The Christians are no different than the people in the world when it comes to divorce and remarriage. And we look at all we talked about that a little bit last week with the statistics about purity and all that. Here's what we need to remember. We need to remember what marriage really is. Marriage is a sacred union. I've got a quote, I think, on the screen. It's a sacred union between one man and one woman, and God's intention is for marriage to last a lifetime. Now, when you hear that statement, does your mind go, yeah, that's right, absolutely? Or do you hear that statement and go, well, but what if? Or what about this? Or what about, do we immediately start going to kind of excuses and exceptions, and but you don't understand my situation, and you don't know what I've been through, and I don't want you to check out on me this morning, okay? I want you to listen through to the end. I want you to stay with me this morning, because this is an important message. If you got your Bibles, flip over to Matthew chapter 19. We're going to be there in a minute. So as you're flipping over there, I just want to talk to you this morning about never giving up, never giving in, never throwing in the towel, hanging in there. And just let me qualify that. I mean, we look in the Bible, and I know already some of you are saying, but you just don't understand. You don't know what I'm going through. And the Bible talks about, we'll talk about it here in a little while. It talks about maybe some exceptions, and whether it's abandonment or desertion by an unbelieving spouse or marital unfaithfulness. But those are times where divorce may be possible, but it's not required. And you can work through those things. The Bible doesn't, one issue that I probably need to bring up, and it's tough because the Bible doesn't directly address it, but it's the issue of abuse. And let me just tell you, if you're here this morning and you're being abused, your first thing is you need safety. You need to get help. You don't feel like you have to live in a situation where you're being physically abused. And I just say that because I know we have I don't know what's going on. What's going on in everyone's marriages, and I just say that I don't want you to hear what I'm saying this morning as an indictment for you to stay in a situation where you're not safe. So we all right on that? I mean, you've got to get help, and it takes people coming alongside you and helping you sort through and figure out what to do in those situations, and looking at the Bible together. And it's tough because there's so many of these situations that are just complicated. It's messy. And when there's sin involved, it is so messy. And if you're here this morning, you've had a marriage that ended, you divorced, my goal this morning is not to heap guilt on you and shame and condemnation. No, I want you to understand that you can find forgiveness, you can find grace in Jesus Christ, and that you can move forward. And we're talking about from this day forward. And I want you to maybe to look to what the Bible says. Let's go to Matthew 19. Kind of the backdrop of this, the Pharisees had come to Jesus. They were trying to trick him and trap him and get him in a situation where they would turn and use his words against him. And they came to him in verse 3 and said, they asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Let me give you the backdrop on this. They're coming here. This was a big controversy in their day and time. First of all, a woman was just the property of her husband. And the husband, if he decided he wanted to get rid of her, he'd just get rid of her. And then she would left. She was left without any way to support herself financially. So as we read in Old Testament times, they could get Moses required that they give the woman a certificate of divorce that proved that she could that she was free and clear, and that she could be remarried, and that she could now be supported and wouldn't be left destitute. That's part of it. The other thing that was going on here is there was two rabbinical schools that taught different things about the reasons for divorce. And so they're saying this is a conflict. This one school of thought says you can get divorced for any and every reason. This other school is a little more strict and says there's qualifications here. What do you say, Jesus? So they're trying to trick him here. And he says in verse 4, haven't you read that at the beginning? He didn't just go back to the Mosaic law. He went back to Genesis. He went all the way back. He said, in the beginning, the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. They are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Now you've heard that saying a lot in marriage ceremonies, right? In a marriage ceremony, you know, there's always the part that scares everybody. You know, if anybody has anything to say against this couple, speak now, forever, hold your peace. I don't do that. That's kind of crazy. But then you go, okay, what God has joined together, let not man separate. And we say those words, but do we mean them? Do we think about what we're saying? Now, over the years, I've seen a lot of different illustrations about how married people, you know, one, I've seen it several times before, where people take like two pieces of construction paper, like a white piece and a red piece, and glue them together. Have you all ever seen anybody do that? I started to do it this morning. I thought, I'll tell you why I didn't. And then you rip them apart, and you see, I mean, they don't come apart cleanly. I mean, everything just rips, and there's spare pieces everywhere. It's just a mess. And the movie Fireproof, if you remember, they took a salt and pepper shaker and glued them together. And he said, okay, break these apart. He glued them with super glue. And he's like, you can't. I mean, if I break them apart, it's going to go everywhere. And he's like, yeah, that's the point. And every illustration I can think of, they're messy. You can think of what happens when two things have been joined together and you try to separate them. But none of them even come close to what happens when a man and a woman get divorced. It's heart-wrenching. And then maybe if you've experienced the pain of divorce, you know what I'm talking about. If your parents went through that and you were there, witness to it, you saw the heartbreak, the pain, you know what I'm talking about here. I listened to a sermon this week. It was by Andy Stanley. It was a sermon called The Shocking Statements of Jesus, and it was on marriage, and divorce and remarriage. And in it, he said, you can't un-one what God made one. I like that quote. You can't un-one what God made one. You've been joined together. And it's not like it's not like Legos. You put them together and you just pop them apart when you're done with them. And that's the view our society has. You know, just move on to the next person. Okay, that didn't work. Let's move on to the next. No, that's not what marriage is like. And here's what I want to share. I think when we look at our society, we look at the church today, people view marriage like a contract instead of a covenant. What do I mean by that? We view marriage, it's like a covenant, not a contract. A contract is based on what we'd call mutual distrust. A contract is based on mutual distrust. What do you do when you have a contract? When you write out a contract, what you're trying to do is increase your rights and decrease your risk. So if I'm in a business, I'm writing out a contract, I'm trying to cover all my bases so I can't be taken advantage of. And what we're saying is I'm only in as far as the other person is in, and if they do anything to break that contract, that thing's null and void, we can move on, it's done. In a business, you're trying to increase your rights, you're trying to cover yourself, and you're trying to make sure there's not a risk involved. And that's how most people view marriage. It's like this distrust. You enter into it with this spirit, oh, something bad's going to happen, so I've got to make sure that if something does, I'm going to be all right. And we enter into it like a contract. Now, a covenant, though, is very different. A covenant, well, it's based on mutual commitment. It's based on this idea of, okay, we're committed to each other. And I get myself in trouble for saying this, because every time I've said this in the past when I've talked about marriage, my wife kind of, we go home, we have this conversation, so she's not in here right now, so I'm going to say it. I've said this before. Marriage is tough. It's not easy. It's hard work sometimes. There are going to be times where you don't get along. And I'll go home and she'll say, but why do you say it like that? We're not, you know, and I'm like, no, but it is. You don't want to give people a false assurance that marriage is this, you know, the state of extended bliss forever. It's tough. And so you've got to have something to go back to, that, to know that you are committed. Let me do an experiment here. I did this at the first of the first service. I want to kind of do a quick survey here to make sure you're still awake with me. How many people in this room, Jennifer and I will be married 18 years coming up in June. So we've been married a little while, but still not much compared to a lot of people in this room. How many people in here have been married more than 20 years? Raise your hands. How many people have been married more than 30 years? We'll go in big jumps. A few. More than 40 years. We have anybody? How many years? 42. Isn't that awesome? 42 years. We had another. Do we have some more back here? How many have y'all? My in-laws. I better be careful here. How many years? Y'all don't know. Okay. 43. Okay. 43. That's a long. I mean, you know what's kind of strange is that's so unusual in today's society, right? To look around and people have been married 30 and 40 years. You don't see that very often. First service, we had Jack and Claudia in here. 58 years. There's a lot of wisdom in that. And if you're a young couple, you need to be looking around at these couples that raised their hand, and you need to be gaining wisdom from them. You need to be, you know, hanging out and saying, okay, what have y'all learned? I mean, there's so much wisdom here within the church. We can learn from each other. We can encourage one another. You know, the younger women are learning from the older women, and the younger men are learning from the older men. That is so important, and it's so missing. We need that in church today. And I just want to encourage you to not be afraid to learn from each other. Man, we could talk about this the idea of covenant for a while. If you've ever done a study of covenant and the meaning of that, a covenant is so much more. It's not just it's not a contract. It's a promise that will not fail. When God makes a covenant, it is a permanent covenant. The Hebrew word translated as covenant is the word berith, and it literally means to cut. And if you study that in the Old Testament, they would cut like a bull in half and separate it. And then they would walk down between the two halves of the bull and pretty much say, you know, if we don't keep this covenant, may what happened to this bull happen to me. Imagine doing that for your wedding service. People would look at you a little strange, wouldn't they? You know, and you say, okay, you know, there's a dead animal. And he says, okay, that's the seriousness that when you read about a covenant, that people should have when we enter into marriage. It's not a contract, it's a covenant. And really, you know, we think about that, and we think about this idea. I mean, this to me, this is such a problem. In our society, we've made divorce really easy to get. No-fault divorce, and you can easily get one. So it's a contract. It just, you've got prenuptial agreements. You've got all this. It's all about protecting our stuff. It's all about protecting our rights, and not protecting the commitment we've made before a holy and righteous God. From this day forward, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, for richer, for poor, forsaking all others, I will be faithful to her as long as she makes me happy. Is that what we say in weddings? If you said that in a wedding, I mean, no, it's not about being happy. As long as we both keep our end of the agreement. No. I mean, as long as nobody else better comes along. Your wife is not a car you trade in every 5 years. And some people view marriage, it's crazy. You know, no, it's as long as you both shall live. There's not an end date. There's not an expiration. You've made a covenant. It's not something you take lightly. So many people are looking, okay, they're looking for that exception. theologians even call the passage that talks about, you know, no one should get a divorce except for marital unfaithfulness. They call that the exception clause. The exception clause. People are looking for an exception. Well, what about, can I get out of my marriage if this? What about if this? And they're looking for that. Give me a reason. Give me a reason. And no. As believers in Christ, we do everything we can to stick in, to hold out, to never give up, to never give in. I know, and some of you are right now, you're sitting here and you're pushing back and saying, but you just don't understand, you just don't know, you just don't. Get help. Seek God. Fight fair. Have fun. Stay pure. Never give in. It's that's what we're called to do in Christ. You don't run and get divorced because you don't feel like you don't feel love anymore. It's like saying you've run out of love. It's like saying, okay, I ran out of gas in my car, so I'm going to sell my car. No, go fill up the gas tank. Fill up the love tank of your spouse, okay? Do you understand what I mean? Do you understand the difference here? We don't give up. We do. We hang in there. We fight for our marriages. And I say that because I know as we go through a series like this, the devil is going to be attacking the people in this room because he wants nothing more than to see marriages fail. And if you give in, if you throw in the towel, if you're saying there, it's not worth it, I don't care, I'm not even going to try. No, don't give in. Fight for it. You know, this idea of covenant partnership. Let me just take you to the Bible to show you what it's based on. Ephesians chapter 5. Covenant partnership, it really is about two things. It's about godly leadership and it's about mutual submission. What do I mean by that? It's godly leadership, mutual submission. Let's go to Ephesians 5. Verse 21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It keeps going. And submit is a word that means kind of the line up behind. It's a military term. It's you're on the same team. You're moving in the same direction. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body which is the Savior. And now as the church submits to Christ, wives submit to their husbands in everything. And before you get hung up there, the command of the husbands is so great here. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for the body just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. It's a picture of how marriage should function. It's a picture of how we are to live in Christ, working together on the same team, serving Christ together, love and respect flowing back and forth between the husband and wife. So, what do we do? Let me give you some, running out of time already. So much I could talk to you about this morning. I could be here all day and you'll probably be falling asleep and dropping out if I kept going on and on. But here, let me give you a couple of quick principles here. In Galatians chapter 6, we see this whole idea of sowing and reaping. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap destruction. If you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap eternal life. You need to understand a couple of things about your marriage. First, you reap what you sow, and secondly, you reap where you sow. First, you reap what you sow. In marriage, this is so true. If you show compassion, if you show forgiveness, guess what you're going to receive in return? Compassion, forgiveness. It's as simple as even if you smile in your marriage or in a good mood, what are you going to receive in return? You reap what you sow. And you just see that in marriage, that if someone is always complaining and comparing and is critical and negative, they're going to receive that in return because that's what they're sowing. You reap what you sow. Secondly, you're going to reap where you sow. I'm just going to speak to the guys here for a minute. What's the most important thing in your life? Are you putting Christ first and your wife second? Are you sowing into your hobbies, into your work, into your sports, even into your children? Have you placed them above your spouse, and have you made them your idol, your God? You reap where you sow. If you're planning and you're putting all your effort into your sports and your hobbies and your stuff and your cars and your homes, you're sowing in the wrong place. You need to invest in your family. You need to invest in your wife. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about you build her up. You encourage her. You make her realize the woman of God that she, who God has called her to be. And ladies, you do that to your, you respect your husband, you build them up, you encourage them, you let them know that they're a man of God and you're there beside them, that you're on the same team. I love them. It's not always easy. I love Billy, Ruth Bell Graham was interviewed before she died, and the interviewer was talking about Billy Graham. He was gone for months at a time on crusades, and the interviewer, you know, said, "Have you ever thought about divorce?" I love what she said. I said, "No, I haven't thought about divorce. I've thought about murdering him a few times, but I never thought about divorce." It's not easy. There's commitment there. She wasn't going to walk away. She knew it was tough. They struggled. I mean, if they struggled, I mean, we're going to have tough times in our marriage. We've got to realize that. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we're going to reap a harvest if we do not give up." Don't give up. Hang in there. Christ can carry you through. When we put our faith in Christ, He comes in. He changes us. He transforms us. He gives us the power to do what we cannot do on our own. So when we are sitting here at the end of our rope saying, "I don't have nowhere to turn, I don't know what to do," you need to lean on Christ and Christ alone. And yes, you can get help. Yes, you can get counseling. But you've got to kneel down at the foot of the cross and say, "Jesus, I need you to get me through this. What do I need to change in my life?" These practical steps are just simply seeking God, fighting fair, having fun, staying pure, never giving up. That's all that stuff we're talking about. These are all practical ways that you can build a marriage that will go the distance, that is strong, and that is godly, and that is holy, and that will stand out in this world we live in, where people will look at it and say, "I want that type of marriage. I want that type of relationship. I want to serve the God that you serve." We need to, people, we've got to stand up. We've got to reject this notion of worldly marriage that says it's all about me. And we need to reread our covenant vows that we made to each other, that I take you to be my wife or my husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish from this day forward until death do us part. That's the type of marriage I'm talking about this morning. And I hope that's the type of marriage you want. And if you're not married now, I hope this is speaking to you and challenging you. This is serious. You don't just go and you take very seriously. Make sure that you are following God's plan and God's path in your life. This morning, my prayer is just that God would strengthen our marriages in this room. My prayer is just that God would heal the marriages in this room. My prayer is that for those of you who do not know Christ, you may have been sitting here week after week and hearing this and saying, I don't really need Christ in my life. My prayer is that God would humble you and bring you to the point where you would say, "I can't go on this same way of living. I need Jesus Christ in my life. And I'm willing to surrender everything to follow Him." Will you pray with me this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this series. My prayer has been that it has built up the body of Christ, that as we have studied and we have shared and gone through God's Word together, that it has spoken into lives, and that Your Word has taken hold. And I pray that we are transformed, and that we don't be conformed to this world, but we be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Lord, Your Word is so powerful. It convicts, it encourages, it corrects. May we take your words of Scripture. May we use them to look into our hearts. And may we just commit to living a marriage of purity, a marriage of holiness, a marriage that honors you as our Lord and Savior. Lord, we thank you this morning for each and every person that's here. I don't think you don't bring people to church by accident. Everybody that here, it's by divine appointment. You have brought them here for this time and for a reason. And I pray that they would be able to look into their hearts, or look into their lives, and look into their marriage and realize what you have called us to be. A holy people, set apart, that we're chosen, that we're a royal priesthood. We've been set apart to do your work. Lord, I pray for those in this room who have never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. May this morning be a time where they just surrender, where they give up trying to do things their way, but instead they come to the cross and realize they need the grace and the forgiveness that can only be found through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus died for our sins. He paid the penalty. He took the shame. He took the condemnation so that we could be set free, so that we could be given a new life, so that we could become a new creation in Christ. Lord, when we acknowledge our sin, when we ask you to transform us, when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ alone and to save us, we are changed forevermore. And that's my prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you for this series. We pray again for every person represented, that you would just continue to work in their life. And we will give you the honor, the credit, the glory, the praise, everything, because it's all about you. It's all about you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we close out this morning, guys. There's response cards in the seats in front of you. You can fill those out. Let us know any prayer requests. Let us know any questions you have. Any way we can just be praying for you, please let us know. I'm going to be over here. The elders will join me if you need to pray. Just feel free to come up. If you've got questions about following Christ, don't sit there. Come up. Pray with us. We're here for you. But will we all just stand and close this morning?
The stars.
guys. Hope you have a great week.